Good morning, and welcome to St. Matthew's. I'm Jennifer Alcorn, and I'll be leading you in worship this morning as Pastor Yuka is on vacation at his cottage. Announcements this morning. First, if it's hot, please do not feel like you need to stand if you don't feel comfortable standing. Secondly, some people have been neglecting some of their duties this past week, and those hymns that are listed there are last week's hymns, so please refer to the listing in your bulletin. Now, before I begin this morning, I'm going to tell you a little story. Every once in a while in the office, Pastor Yuka jokes with me and says, "Would you like to preach for me this Sunday?" And I always say, "Pastor, you don't want me to preach, because all I'll say is, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. Go in peace, serve the Lord. Amen." And then I see in Galatians, oh, look, we have, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." What more is there to say? Lucky for you, we subscribe to sermons by email, and I actually have a sermon that I have not written to share with you this morning. Today, my comments are focused on the reading from Galatians. All of Paul's letters are letters written to specific groups of people or specific individuals and address specific issues or problems that those people were dealing with. A lot of page space is taken up in these letters, trying to get these people to stop fighting and arguing about stuff, and more specifically, to stop indulging their own egos and whims, and start thinking about each other's needs and about higher things. I'm always a little surprised when people think that somehow Christian congregations or church organizations should be immune from conflict or politics. Churches are just groups of people, and we people are all first and foremost human beings with all our humanness, no matter what else we may claim to be or strive to be. In a church, we happen to be human beings who are striving to be faithful followers of Jesus. The fact that we are striving to do this already betrays the fact that we are not there. We are only trying to get there. So here in this section of Galatians, we hear from this letter, Paul gives some practical advice for dealing with conflict by offering a piece of profound analysis. And this is what he writes. "Live by the Spirit, I say, and do not gratify the desires of the flesh. For what the flesh desires is opposed to the Spirit, and what the Spirit desires is opposed to the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to prevent you from doing what you want. Now the works of the flesh are obvious: fornication, impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, anger, quarrels, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. By contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against such things." What Paul does here is set up a contrast between the flesh and the spirit. What he means by the flesh is our biologically driven human impulses. These are all impulses whose primary purpose is to ensure our survival and the continuation of our species. In other words, they are the basic instinctual impulses toward procreation, social hierarchy, and territoriality. These are hardwired into our physical makeup, but these are also the very impulses that drive us toward all the things Paul listed as works of the flesh. In terms of the life of a congregation, the most informative of these would probably be enmity, or making enemies, strife, or working at cross purposes to each other, jealousy and envy, anger, quarrels, dissensions, and factions. If we are honest with ourselves, we will see that we all at some point engage in one or more of these things. For example, enmity. People often say, well, I don't have any enemies. Well, if that's true, then why aren't you talking to that person over there? Or why do you avoid them? You've already decided that they are an enemy. Oh, no, they're not my enemy. I just don't feel comfortable around them. Well, then you've made them your enemy. We are often dishonest with ourselves in this way. We rationalize to ourselves that we aren't really doing something when, in fact, we are. Or let's take jealousy or envy, for example. When somebody gets thanked more than we do, or has more than we do, or gets more attention than we do, we can often become jealous or envious of them. We've all been there at some point, somewhere, sometime in our lives. In the same way, we could go through all of these works of the flesh and see how pervasive they really are in us. But my point here is that these impulses come from our biologically driven survival instincts. Let's do a little thought experiment. So in your mind for a moment, put yourself back into our original human social context, into small hunter-gatherer bands. In that setting, if you are not getting as much attention as someone else in that little group, chances are you're not getting as much food either. Or if the food gets scarce, you may be the first to have to go without. Social hierarchy is huge in our biological makeup, even if we don't realize it, or pretending to ourselves that it doesn't matter to us. It does matter. Being on the social outside of a group sets off the anger response, which includes envy, jealousy, resentment, and the desire for getting back at someone. Being on the social outside of a group sets off this response because the anger response is the way that our bodies motivate us to fight back, to try to get ourselves higher up the social hierarchy so that we have more access to resources and we have a better chance at survival. But we are no longer hunter-gatherers living in small family groups made up of a dozen or so individuals. We now live in large settlements supplied from around the world, and we organize ourselves into complex societies, governments, teams, groups, and congregations. In this context, on a day-to-day basis, much of our biological survival toolkit is actually counterproductive. This is also true in the life of a congregation. So, what's the solution? Paul invites his readers to rise above their biologically driven survival instincts and engage the Spirit. Look at the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. All of these qualities require a person to rise above their animal instincts. The love that he speaks of here is not biological procreating instinctive love, but rather the love that rises above physical attraction or blood ties. The joy is not a happiness from getting or having something, but a contentedness that comes from the ability to rise above the immediate circumstances and to be at peace in the midst of conflict. Patience requires the ability to rise above whenever someone is or whatever someone is or isn't doing. Kindness, especially to someone who is a jerk, requires this same rising above. Generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, these are all qualities that require us to rise above whatever anyone else is doing. You could see self-control as the last one on Paul's list for the fruit of the Spirit as a summary of all of these qualities. Because I have risen above my biological impulses and reactivity, I am able to govern myself out of my Christian principles. But even that does not do justice to what is meant, what it means to live by the Spirit. Because ultimately, this rising above is not just something that happens in my head, but it means that I begin to surrender myself, my ego, to the self that is above and beyond me. I surrender myself to God. I let go of all the relational control impulses and reactions I love to cling to, all my ego agendas, all my biological survival baggage, and I entrust myself to God. Should we ever come to find ourselves in that place of complete surrender to God, that state of being in the Spirit, of having put on Christ, then even if there are fights and quarrels and pettiness, as sometimes happens in congregations, it doesn't matter, because the Spirit of God has lifted us above it, and now we can view all people with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. At least, that's the goal we are working toward. Amen.